Oh. Oh my lord. Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
He's lost his fucking mind. We just started. Welcome to the Team Rocket Podcast, episode number four. I'm gonna give Jesse a second to regain some of his composure, but how y'all doing out there? As you know, I'm
My
James. I think Jesse just broke himself. Welcome to this episode where we're gonna talk about alcohol tolerance and when it is not acceptable to be drunk.
I'm not drunk. That's the worst part.
Yeah, I know, I figured.
Oh
So
my God.
I take it work was kind of over the top for you or just
Oh my
normal, right?
Lord. Okay, so just so everyone who's tuning in, so you can understand the context of what just happened here. Before we start recording the podcast, I always do a countdown from 10 before I hit the record button so that we can just be ready to go. I decided to start saying it in Spanish. So here's me going 10, 9, 8, 7. And I said siete with an R. And it just completely broke my concentration. James points it out and starts laughing. I'm laughing. My concentration is completely, utterly ruined.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be the straight man in this group. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad?
Oh my God. And I mean,
Damn, son.
we got down to. I mean, we got down to trace and just every. It went bad.
And
It
then
just.
life fell apart. Life happened.
It all went bad.
Man.
We're never going to win this one again.
Nah, we're not. Nah, whatever. Whatever. We're off to a good start, though. We're off to a good
I mean,
start.
that is true.
This.
So.
Oh my fucking God.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah. So, back on
realize that.
track. Back
You
on
realize
track.
there's no coming back from that.
There's no coming back for them. You need to like tighten up, bro.
All
Tighten
right,
up.
all right.
Steady on, sailor. We gotta get back to where we
Okay,
were.
we're gonna write this ship. We are gonna rewrite this ship. We can do this.
All right. So,
Woosah or something.
yeah. Breathe into your balls, bro. Breathe into your balls. Real slow.
Oh, Lord.
Real
All
slow.
right.
So, what do we got in store tonight, bruh?
Well, I did just pick up Final Fantasy Type Zero HD, which also came with the Final Fantasy 15 demo. So
Yeah.
I definitely do want to talk about that, both of those games specifically, and actually how I feel if this demo of 15 is anything like what the real game is going to be, and I'm hoping it is. I think we got some good stuff to look forward to. And to be honest, I think Type Zero is also what we're talking about as well. It's a I want to say that it was originally a PSP game.
Yeah,
That
I think
has,
it was.
yeah, that got ported over and, remastered. And it's got, I want to talk about that as well. I think you want to discuss some of the ongoings in the survival horror genre.
Yeah, the follies and what's good, what's not good. Like Slender Man, I don't see anybody's afraid of that shit.
Deadly Premonition.
That actually wasn't bad. Like, it was underrated. That's a weird game.
Yeah.
It's a weird game. Weird, weird game.
Oh my
But
gosh.
the new one, Five Nights at Freddy's. Dear God.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
I mean, for us, everything a 6-year-old me was actually afraid of.
Clowns.
No. No, we'll get into that in a minute. Like, for real. That's it. There's a legitimate backstory to why I'm afraid of that shit. Like, not even gonna lie. Not gonna lie. Not even.
It actually got me, some other stuff I was thinking about while I was at work today. Yeah, at my day job, my real people job. I wish this, and this actually makes me wish this could be my real people job. Like I could just sit back at home, podcast every day, just ramble on and on about what's on my mind with gaming. That would be an ideal job, but you learn later on in life you can't really do that
And then
unless,
Twitch comes around and you see people get donated thousands of dollars and thousands more and ugh.
and Casey Tron gets hundreds upon thousands or hundreds upon hundreds of dollars to play a character that pokes holes at the entire in or pokes holes in the entire female gamer stereotype. It's great.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in reality,
No, it got me thinking about it, how what this would this is actually like a dream of mine to be, and I know it has to be yours too. We've talked about this before, being involved in video games, in reporting them in the media in some way. And I mean, this
yeah.
is like this falls in the realm of hobby, but it's something. It's a start. It's a foot in the door. It's very do it yourself. And that's the great thing about podcasts. You're doing it on your own terms. you're not beholden to any corporate sponsors or, you know, you know, appealing to anybody.
But if there's any corporate sponsors listening, I would love some money. You know,
look, we will happily sell out. We will sell out so quickly. Like, look, you thought Jeff Keighley as the Dorito King, you think he sold out quickly for Call of Duty money? No, no, we'll sell out quicker.
Shit, just give me like Xbox One and the PS4. We're done.
We will sell our allegiance to you. Yeah. We will sell out so quickly.
Shout out to Gung Ho, bro, and Blizzard. We need money. Like,
Shout outs to Square Enix if you want to send me, you know, a Final Fantasy themed PS4, even though I already have one or a PS4 already. I'll take another one. I like it.
Mad Cats, you want to start making like PC stuff? I'm the guy.
All right, so
I think we might get sued for all those name drops, actually. Oh. So
it's like we really are whores. Like, we're not even getting paid for this, and we're just name dropping.
No, I'm just like, I'm fishing. I'm on a fishing expedition.
So you're catfishing.
No, I mean, I'm fishing for information. You know what I'm saying?
This is like the sellout equivalent of trolling for Tinder booty. Anyway.
More or less, yeah. Back to what you're saying. This was like a dream of ours back in high school. Like, just little side stories. Like, I used to like to be into web and graphic design, and I actually talked to Jesse a long time ago. Like, because it was around the time that the anime websites were becoming huge, and they were all made by just fans, but like everybody knew what they were. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
It was would have been a good idea, and like video game websites were smaller and harder to find because like the amount of time it took to like put together and like get your own screen grabs, that way they don't like, you know, get somebody was like watermarked ones. That's why they never got big. But now with Twitch and YouTube, it's just amazing, and we really are seeing a lot of user-generated content based off of hobbies, and people are actually making livings based off of it. So we could. It's not like a bad idea. I mean, I've heard worse ideas.
Yeah. What actually got me interested in the whole thing, when I was in third, fourth, fifth grade, around that time of my life, elementary school, a friend of mine got hooked up with Super Nintendo and Final Fantasy IV, at the time Final Fantasy II. And him and I must have spent the night at his house, and we played that so many times. It was ridiculous. It got to the point that I, you know, got online and started looking up, you know, Final Fantasy fan sites. And that led me to, here's a bit of history for you, Andrew Vestal's original unofficial Squaresoft homepage, which at the time was the biggest resource on all of, then Squaresoft, Square Enix, formerly Squaresoft, all of their games at that time. And it was like the biggest resource on the net for it. And this was a big deal. Like, it was any bit of data you ever wanted to find, it was there. So I'm sitting here, and I mean, I'm just taking in all of this knowledge, reading everything about every game, everything they've ever done. I wanted to know. So eventually Vestal gets out of that line of work, sells the website and the properties or whatever it's, or gives it away. I don't know what the deal was, but he gives it to a gentleman by the name of Michael Tidwell, and Tidwell creates rpgamer.com or rpggamer.com. There's two, from what I recall, there were two different accepted forms of pronunciation for it. There's rpgamer and then there's rpggamer. I prefer rpggamer personally. And they decided to start focusing more on RPGs as a collective whole and less on just Square exclusive ones, which was a good call.
Yeah, there, you know, are a lot of RPGs.
I mean, you also have websites like RPG Fan. At the time, you also had the GIA as well, the Gaming Intelligence Agency, which also covered its own wide berth of games as well. But getting to RPG Gamer, checking out the website for the first time and seeing how it was developing, and finally, you know, getting a PlayStation for Christmas and finally playing RPGs and just falling in love with that, you know, particular genre of games. I don't think I had fallen in love with games like that since fighting games.
Oh god.
Yeah. So I had MIRC, Microsoft Internet Relay Chat, on my computer, and I really found out that there was an RPG Gamer channel where fans of that community, you know, would meet up and talk. Now, here's me, 13 years old, impressionable, you know, naive to the world.
Learning bad words on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dear God. Child of the internets, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's you know, I'm searching this out. I punch in all the info, and it was on the old Espernet servers, which was a big deal. Yeah, Espernet, named after another Final Fantasy reference, right?
Yeah.
So, I literally picked the most AOL-esque username for being on there. It was like, it was named after one of Eris's, her level 4 limit break, Great Gospel.
Yeah.
But I spelled Great Gospel in all caps. Or, like, not all caps, excuse me, alternating caps. So you had, like, capital G, lowercase r, it, like that. And it was just so...
chat room for that shit.
Oh, my God. I was later, I was told, like months later, after, you know, a while, that's how people not only knew I was new, but kind of had a feeling of how old I was because of that right off the bat. But, you know, so here's 13...
like baby Venus.
Yeah. So, you know, here's me stepping in this chat room, and I mean... part of it is I wanted to work with RPG Gamer. I wanted to work on at that website. I wanted to be an employee of. I wanted to go to E3. I wanted to cover this stuff. I wanted to be involved in video game media. That was something I was interested in. So I always joked with the... And I doubt if he ever hears this, and he probably won't. Much less do I doubt, you know, he'll remember this if he does. You know, I always told him, it's like, you know, I'm gonna work for RPG Gamer one day. And I mean, I didn't know how to get around to it. I was running on a 56K connection. Broadband was just starting to kind of make waves in certain cities. You know, it was... I started, you know, chatting in this community. I started, you know, talking with people. And again, 13-year-old me, you know, naive. You know, I kind of had like a minor religious bent, yeah, if you will. And here's a lot of people who... you know, were at least on average 2 to 4 years older than me, some in late high school, some in college, you know, different gender identities, different sexualities, different interests, you know, musical taste, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, to me, these were the cool kids of the internet. I mean, that's what it felt like. I mean, I'm, again, 13, you know, and I mean, I just wanted to be accepted by these people. That was my thought process. And, you know, I think I want to say about a year into hanging out in that area, I just, something turned off in my brain, I guess. It was like I stopped checking it out. I wasn't interested anymore. One that I suddenly started hating RPGs or something. It was...
You met me. That's what it was.
I mean, among other things. I mean, I started, you know, in high school, you know, I made real life friends. I had a social life of my own. I mean, other things, it really just started branching out more. I think I, you know, started, I didn't really like the people that, you know, I was hanging around with in the RPG Gamer channel. A lot of them, I'm going to say now, at the, you know, looking back, I was an immature, dumb-witted kid. Again, yeah, like, no malicious harm. I didn't make fun of people, you know, I didn't, you know, go out of my way to harass people. But I mean, again, annoying 14-year-old. I mean, and we all know that person at that age. That was me.
I know that person now.
Yeah, fuck you.
who said I was talking about you? There's a lot of immature, almost 30-year-olds that I know.
Like me.
Yeah, you're right. My bad.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
360, no scope, 420, blaze it.
Yeah. God.
So, I guess it was like looking at proto hipsters on the internet, and I guess I just realized, you know, these people are all older than me, but I'm not enjoying being here. I'm not having fun. We don't relate. There's, you know, among my other interests, I think we're like pro wrestling and
BattleBots.
Yeah, BattleBots, actually, come to think of it, was another
time
one.
Was BattleBots.
Oh my God, BattleBots was so great. It was just I fell out of it, and I stopped really caring, and that dream kind of fell to the wayside, and it was just, you know, whatever, this isn't something I want to be a part of anymore. You know, I still stop by RPG Gamer's website here and then, check everything, see what's going on. You know, I do like following it from time to time. You know, again, shout outs to that community circa 1999 to 2000, 2001. It's
that was a crazy time.
I mean that was me growing up. That was me trying to figure out who I was.
Yeah.
Which is was a big deal. And I mean I think that's important to kind of learn, you know, what kind of person you're becoming, what you're interested in. You know?
It really is. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. I mean, and I had other hobbies, and I just, like I said, where they were age-wise and where I was, they didn't match up. I was never going to quite fit in there. And I think, like, I think I stopped by there, like, a year later. And it was just, like, someone, I got so much, I used the same username and everything. You know, I figured maybe there will be some people here who I remember. And I swear people just rode my ass over that same screen name and the spelling. Like, they were, this is what I remember the most. It wasn't the screen name that I had, by the way. It was just how I spelled it. It was just the alternating cap sequence. People got literally butthurt over that. Like, they got their legitimate panties in a bunch over that. I think that's actually when I just decided, I'm like, I'm done with this. I don't want to be involved with this community. This community sucks. You know.
A quick disclaimer to anybody out there listening. If we offend you with this, because there still are a lot of, you know, internet pedantists, go fuck yourself. I'm serious. You spelled that wrong. It's a name. Get out of here.
I mean, honestly, that's my thought process now. It's like, it was 1999, 2000. I was 13 or 14 years old.
That's Gorilla's reference by accident.
Yeah, 99, 2000. Thank you. You know, again, it was the time. I was of the right age.
In the right,
you know, I just, it just seemed like the most joyless, soulless place I had ever been.
The internet. I mean, you described the internet right there.
Yeah, I really did. But I mean, but it wasn't even like the right kind of soulless or joyless place that, you know, that you can get like some form of like dark comedy from. Like, this was just, these people were just,
it was an AOL chat room.
No, I mean, at least AOL, because at least with the benefit of AOL chat rooms, you know, at least those idiots sort of know how to have fun with themselves.
ASL, bro.
13 female USA.
you're like, SMS things explodes.
The FBI has been contacted. They will be notifying you very shortly.
Oh god, the auto responses of people asking for ASL you could come up with. Fun.
Nah, but I mean, that was my first foray into a community that, you know, and the ultimate, you know, the life and death of that for me. You know, nowadays, first off, I now think that if I were going to cover just RPGs, even though I have to appreciate the irony that today I'm going to be talking about RPGs, go figure. If I were to only talk about that genre of video gaming, that would be pretty dull. Like,
short.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many good games across so many genres. That one certainly doesn't matter. Look, if I really want to have a discussion that I can get passionate about and really have fun with, I'll get on rhythm games. I mean, if you really want me to get pissed off for hours, let me talk about DDR. Oh, that's 10 DDR years worth of material.
Yeah, we need to do an episode on that shit.
Oh my jeez.
So, on to other exciting things.
I wanted to ask you, what was the first community that got you into that made you want to...
I had to change what I said earlier. The first thing that really actually got me into community stuff, gaming-wise,
yeah,
was like I said, like the fighting game thing, but actually take it back, it was DDR Kids. And that was more of an IRL thing, though, because, like, we hung out with them, we went places and did stuff, we had some crazy-ass adventures that had nothing to do with dance games, but it was more, like, the competitive thing of it, because it's like I talked about before, like, in the first episode, I'm really into the competitive side of games, and there's, like, nothing that drove you to play rhythm-based games, as you know, or some people who play it know, is playing with somebody who's about your skill level or a little bit better than you, because you're constantly playing catch-up, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we do this, we do this. Because, like, it was just a thing of, I always wanted to be better because you and a bunch of our other friends had, like, 2 years on me. And oddly enough, I caught up kind of quick, but at that time, sadly, the scene was dying anyway, so it wasn't really much I could do to catch up.
Yeah. I mean,
too late.
First off, I've always felt that if you're going to do anything competitive gaming-wise, you always need... You need two things. One person who's about on par with you to constantly keep you competitively sharp. One person better than you so that you always have something to strive for.
Yeah, I mean that's was a cool part about our community, especially where we live in Louisville. There's a sharp curve because there was like some people that could barely pass heavy songs, and then you had Thomas, Shohei, Ben.
Names none of these people know.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Though? Like you had people that were you just like a harsh ass learning curve. It's like okay, so I'm gonna play with this kid, and like I can't even keep up with them. And then I play with somebody else, and they're worse than I am. But then, like, again, you had, like, our core group of friends that we were at least, like, at a minimum, we're all about the same. But, like, once you hit the top tier levels, it was like
– Yeah.
It was like, dear God.
Yeah. I mean, there was a stark rise in that. I mean, it was – I liked our community. I mean, I really liked that community. That was a community I loved being a part of. And it wasn't soulless. It wasn't joyless. It was very, very fun to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, like, all kinds of crazy adventures, just even we would just, like, when they would just come to our arcade where we work and just play for hours, even when we were working, we could talk to them about, what did you do this? How did I do this? How do I go step? What is this? What is your, like, lowest on this? Do you cap your SDG this? I mean, it was just constantly something we could always talk about. And again, the other cool thing about it, since there were finite songs, you were constantly knocking songs off the list of what you had to do.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone understood the context of, you know, I beat this, I beat this, or I did well on this. You know, there was an understanding there. That was a community I'm so happy to be part of, but I can't say that was necessarily a community that made me want to talk about video games or made me want to actually, you know, get involved in it from a media perspective, from a journalistic perspective.
Yeah, just from, like, we're talking about gaming-wise, yeah. I was talking about specifically for gaming purposes, because that also got me into, it ties back into what I said earlier, it also got me into the competitive side of fighting games, because that's a similar, like,
one-on-one
fan base, yeah, one-on-one fan bases, and they kind of cross over, like, where we live, too, because we had times where we would go over our friends' apartments, and we would do nothing but play fighting games all night.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. There was just a big community in that, and like going, like I was saying, when I was in Ohio, there were a bunch of arcades, and there still are now, like you've heard, like in Cleveland, Toledo, Detroit area, that still get frequented by people who will just go there for hours and do coin lines and play like Street Fighter 4, the places that have them. And I got to do that too a while back, and it was a lot of fun. Like the community hasn't died at all. It's just getting kind of, not really stagnant, but again, it's also that harsh like bell curve because it's one-on-one. It's like you play one guy, you might be able to sweep him. You play the next guy, you get swept. You play the next guy, you go 1-1, but you still lose. You play the next guy, you get swept again. But that's just also more because tiering and balance and all kinds of other goofy stuff. But
oh, yeah. That's just... I mean. Or sorry, go on, my bad.
No, you're good. You go. I was going to wrap my part up anyway in a second.
I mean, that's every... Or, wow.
Man, you know, are you sure you're not drunk?
Yes, I'm very positive that I am not drunk. I have not had anything alcoholic to drink tonight, thankfully. Very, very thankfully. Getting into it, it was just... RPG Gamer made me want to actually report about video games. It made me want to be in that industry, but it's seeing some parts of the community that I would be represent, or some of the people that, you know, were into that and just how they were.
I could say that more like the active blogger, because I would just blog about every experience I had on top of doing reviews based solely on objectivism on how it could be competitively or with a group of friends more so than just playing it by yourself. Yep. I always wanted to do that, but I guess I would be in them being more like a blogger or like a feature piece writer more so than like how you would be more of a structured writer about just the overall community of games in general.
And I mean, just looking back at it now, I mean, I do have to, in a weird way, like I have to be thankful for having been in that community because they were so many, or they were a couple of years older than me. You know, I was seeing, you know, different lifestyles, different, you know, opinions, choices, you know, different interesting games. Some of them actually had their own stark interesting games. I have to be honest about that. But at the same time, you know, looking at it now, I mean, that it just wasn't the most fun community to be involved in. And I mean, again, devil's advocate, I was probably like an annoying 14-year-old who, you know, got on people's nerves because, again, I'm a 14-year-old. Whoa. Who wants the acceptance of what he regards as his peers. You know, I'm glad I got to a point where it's like, I genuinely don't give a fuck if these people are my peers and I could care less about impressing them. Yeah. That was actually its own little bit of a peace and, you know, growing there. It was like that first moment of of reaching a point where you just don't care about what someone thinks. You're going to do your own thing. You're going to do what makes you happy. You know, that community at the end of it was not making me happy. So I walked, and that was probably – that was something that I'm grateful that I did. I'm grateful for the experience. It also made me realize, you know what? I can do this on my own terms too.
Yeah.
I can talk about video games. I can review video games. I can go through my interests in video games like you can, like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
In their communities. Like, we'll be talking about them here shortly. You know, we can do that.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't need to be on... We don't need to be employed by a website to do that. Although, if someone thinks we are worth employing, please give us your money. We will. Yeah, we'll be more than happy to.
I'll actually do real labor for the money. No, wait, no, no. Well, I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
It's like, let's not lie now.
I'll actually move heavy objects for you as long as I get paid. Don't even care. Don't even. Oh, and I need benefits. Can't forget benefits. I get hurt a lot.
You can never forget benefits.
Never. Never, never, never. So I'm going to segue that into what I wanted to talk about.
Survival horror
games, bro. Survival horror games. You dislike them, kind of. I love them. You know?
Nah, I don't mind them. I just don't like games that have terrible controls. Resident Evil.
Silent Hill. I mean, anything that was a 3D game with 2D controls is going to be utter fucking garbage. But they've changed a lot since then. They've come a long, long way. To the point that the remake of Resident Evil that just came out has full, like, it has classic controls, and it also has Resident Evil 6 controls, which you probably actually like. But, like, there's so many different ways that, you know, survival horror games are made. There's a classic jump scare game, and then you go all the way back to games like Clock Tower, you know, where you have to do almost like a point-and-click adventure. Like, you have to go follow clues, and then when the Scissor Man pops up, you have to run from him, and there's not really much you can do. But
the original Clock Tower for SNES.
Yes, the original Clock Tower.
Jesus, that game.
That game. I mean, like, there's a lot of things in those type of games that they have a lot of really cool ideas, and some of them, like the Silent Hills of the genre, actually talk about and force you to think about man versus reality, and man versus religion, man versus, like, you know, self-loathing. Especially Silent Hill 2, that was a complete clusterfuck.
Oh, yeah.
Way. Like, oh my god. You guess what, James? What? You murdered your wife. What?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, I mean, like, there's so many things about those games that, you know, and there's ones that do, like, the classic tropes. Like, Resident Evil is one of my favorites, especially just going back to the original one, because it is just almost like if Capcom wrote, like, a love letter to George Romero, like, in every way. You have the classic archetypes, you have the strong female, you have the unwitting hero and Chris, even though you play the game as either of them. But then it kind of dilutes itself. It gets further and further away from being an actual horror game with some, like, spooky science to an action game like everything is now. Which brings me to Five Nights at Freddy's, which is hands down the only actual scary mind, like, fucking game I've ever played. And not, like, true, like, scary, scary. The jump scares do mess with you, but just the overall feel of claustrophobia in it.
Yeah.
It's insane. And the story, which brings me back to what I was saying. Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese. What can I say about Chuck E. Cheese?
That hasn't already been said.
That hasn't already been said. Now, I'm not talking about...
I mean, I was going to say, if I were going to make a survival horror game involving Chuck E. Cheese, I think I would think pedophiles would be more up that alley. I think that'd be...
Exactly. Scary. Which is what Five Nights at Freddy's is actually about.
Oh, really? It's,
yes, I'm going to get into that in a second. So, do you remember...
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Okay, I'll try my best to do no spoilers. So, do you remember how Chuck E. Cheese was originally, like, when we were younger, like, in the late 80s when it was new?
Yes.
Like, the bad animatronics that had, like, the twitchy eyes and seemed like they moved out of sync with everything, like, even when they had the performance stage and stuff. Yep. They were singing along the songs, and then the semi-robotic Chucky that went around and talked, like, with the person inside to talk to kids.
Yes.
When we were younger, I had my third birthday parties at Chuck E. Cheese. And I was fucking horrified of Chucky. Yes. You don't even know. Like, because my brother used to tell me these fucked up stories that Chucky actually would follow people around and he would, like, mess with them. And that Chucky also would take kids into the back the birthday kids that he didn't like and murder them. Flash forward 20 some odd years, and there's a game about just that. And, like, because you heard about, like, the legitimate cases of Chuck E. Cheese where kids were, like, molested or attempted to be kidnapped and stuff. And then you have a game like Five Nights at Freddy's that, to me, because I had birthday parties at Chuck E. Cheese and my older brother did his due diligence as an older brother to scare the shit out of me every chance he got about, you know, Chucky and Chuck E. Cheese because, you know, the animatronics at night, they get up and they walk around.
Yeah.
And they'll kill anybody who's not there. And then again, you have a game that feeds on all those weird, creepypasta urban legends that you heard of when you were little. So to me, it was like it came full circle. And I could really appreciate that again because we were that generation of kids that actually went to the original Chuck E. Cheese that had all the weird animatronics. And a lot of those, and a few of them did have to close down because of weird stuff going on there with like pedophiles and stuff. That's one of the things that actually helped kill arcades was that too, was like, you know, kids being unattended and being kidnapped. Yeah. Molested and stuff. So to have a game that's literally that meta, then taking it a step further is insane.
I was gonna say, I feel like this is gonna be the episode that gets us thrown off. we're gonna get banned for this episode.
Nah. I mean, like, but then like back into the actual game. The concept of it is really, really cool because it's from just some more backstory of I forgot his name, which really is kind of making me mad, but the guy who actually programmed, wrote, and designed Five Nights at Freddy's originally made Christian games.
What?
And
wait,
yes,
what?
Yes, Scott something. I forgot what his name is. Now I'm going to have to look it up. Now I feel like an idiot for not having this up in front of me, but like, he actually wrote Christian games, and he got criticized because the games, just character designs, they said look like creepy animatronics from an old like family fun center. So he said in an interview, he was like, well, if that's how you feel and you think this is scary, I'll show you scary. So then he went back and he made Five Nights at Freddy's, which is based off of creepy animatronic robots in a family fun center. And like the whole thing centers around you being this new security guard. It's your summer job in 1989, I believe. And your whole goal is to survive 6 consecutive nights at Freddy's. And the whole time you're there, you get little pieces. His name is Scott Cawthorn. And little bitty pieces of information are fed to you that help you solve the crime and what actually happened to Freddy and Freddy Fazbear's Pizza and what's going on there. And it is sad and all kinds of messed up. It is crazy. And like, again, like you're playing it and you think, oh, this is just going to be some goofy game, blah, blah, blah. Until, like, the first jump scare, you're like, wow, that scared me, but this is a jump scare. Whatever. And then, like, you actually, again, like, you had the same effect that Silent Hill 2 did. It's like, okay, so you see all these things. You're like, yeah, these are kind of scary. And so you get the story that explains why this looks like this, why this functions like this. And it's like, this is just messed up. How could this actually be going on and, like, nobody knows about it? And it really is crazy. Like, the other thing is, like, you never get to see the security guard who you are, and you never really get to meet the guy who basically walked you through your first day of work. And overall, what it is basically is Freddy, the restaurant has animatronics. The animatronics have cameras in their eyes, right? And you know what one of the things they do is?
What's that?
When they're on free roaming mode, they're walking around, they actually actively sweep because they're tied into, get this, a pedophile sex offender database. And they're actually, their secondary job is to, if they see somebody who's a registered offender, is to get them out of the store. Yeah.
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 Is so that, like, I was going to say that I do remember about the game's plotline. Or that was the second one. That's
yes,
when they.
Is when they start to the animatronics become a little bit more advanced. The first one takes place actually after the first set of murders. And the second one is that, and they're tied into the database. And there's all kinds of weird things that kind of hint at that you may happen to be the actual bad guy of the whole thing. But yeah, there's a, yeah, not to get too far into spoilerdom, but it is pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. And then for the third one, you'll love this. For Five Nights at Freddy's 3, you fast forward again. And basically, in Five Nights at Freddy's 3, the Freddy Fazbear's Pizza has gone.
It's now like a horror, or it's like a haunted house now.
It's a haunted house. And basically, they've started to salvage some of the, like, basically it starts off your first night there, like, it just kind of deals with, like, ghosts and jump scares, you know, oh, no. And then as it goes along, you find out that, that basically the killing room is still in that building. They just, like, sealed it shut. And then you find out that there is this animatronic rabbit that was there that was, is a semi-animatronic that a person could fit in. And it was never put together, it was never used. It's known as Spring Trap, or referred to as Spring Trap because it has a spring hinges so you can put a fit a person behind the animatronics. And he's the new antagonist.
Oh, Jesus. Another one. The, because you know you need another animatronic trying to kill you.
This one is even more messed up because apparently there's still a human body inside of it. Yeah. So needless to say, as a whole, the games are creepy. They make you wonder, like, how much of those weird, creepy pasta urban legend things that we heard about Chuck E. Cheese were real? And if they were, not so much the haunted stuff, the animatronics, but like, you know, the seedier stuff that went on there, why would that, why would people turn a blind eye to? But as a whole, though, it's just a creepy game. Especially if you ever have spent any time as a child in a Chuck E. Cheese or anything like that. Or hell, if you were in like some of the amusement park places that had animatronics that walked around and just kind of looked for stuff and oh God, it's just it's creepy as hell.
And basically, what I have learned, what we've learned here,
Don't
kill all
talk to
the,
strangers.
kill, well, yeah, don't talk to strangers, don't trust people in mascot outfits,
There's
and
that.
destroy all the animatronics.
All of them. All of them. But I like cannot like vouch for the game enough. Like if you have, and plus the best part is the game is pretty cheap. It's like $5 on Steam. If you ever get a chance, or even on your Android device or your iPhone or iOS, just download it. It's cheap. It's creepy. It's a point-and-click adventure. It's basically click the different cameras and you go from there. And that's on a whole, oh my God. It'll make your head explode. It's scary.
The thing is, that's probably, I'll be honest, that'd probably be the kind of game I would avoid because jump scare games just screw with me. Like, to me, that is like, I just can't do it, and that game is full of them. Like, I would probably end up putting my fist through my monitor, and it would just be, it'd be all kinds of bad.
That's why
It'd be.
I love it. That's why I used to like watching people do Let's Plays of Five Nights at Freddy's, because like you never know the jump scare is gonna happen. You could be playing the game perfect, and then the game decides to say, "F you, I'm gonna scare you right now."
Ah! Oh, God.
Stupid Golden Freddy!
Oh Lord, I bleh.
Man, you should play it. Like for real, it's
I mean, I can tell you now, that's not something I could play with the lights out. I'd probably have to sit there, you know, lights on, just, you know, just like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Ah!
Have you a santa or you a candle lit?
Yeah, it's like.
The corner, cross yourself beforehand, start playing, running around in circles, and Five Nights at Freddy's.
I'm not looking. See, that would just be like I'm the worst person to be playing survival horror games because, like I said, here's me playing Resident Evil for the first time, and you know, I've got, you know, I'm running around with Chris or Jill, and I shoot a zombie, and I'm just like die, die, and then the zombie hits the ground. It's and I saw them with the I'd watch my friend playing. I would see the zombie stand up on him, so I would like double check it just to make sure that it's dead.
You
And next thing,
Well, you
next. Yeah, I was gonna say next thing you know, I've blown through all my ammo, and it's like, what was the point of this? This did me no good.
Yeah, the moral of the story is Jesse's bad at games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm bad at that game.
Shoot zombie, walk away.
Gonna say, just so we're clear, let's go ahead and just clarify, I'm bad at that game.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've just learned that, you know, that's not my genre of games that I'm good at. That is my.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of weird quirks in the other games.
Yeah.
Like, say, Resident Evil, you can either. Actually, you know what the goal is? The goal is to actually run past all the zombies and use as little ammunition as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the actual goal, apparently. It took me, oh, almost 18 years to get that right.
But we did it. We did
We
it.
did it! We landed on the moon!
We have done it.
Real this time, though. Fuck balls, Osrin. That's right, I said it. I said it. So, McLego, what did you have to talk about? It
Well,
doesn't matter.
you son of a bitch.
Yeah, my bad. So, what you
You are
want?
the worst.
I am
You are the absolute worst.
Yes.
Die 1,000 deaths, suck a big bag of dicks. You troll. Oh, we. For the record, we're definitely gonna have to put the explicit language tag on this one. There's no way around it.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, this one is just. This one's gonna be. We're done. All right, so. A couple nights back, I picked up the bundle with Final Fantasy Type Zero HD and with the 15 demo.
Yeah.
And I've been sitting around messing around with both of them. What is there to say? Well, that's what this whole thing is for. Why not? For those of you that don't know, Type Zero HD was originally a PSP game. That has been ported to the PS4 and I think it was PS3, PS4 or PS4 and Vita. I just know that the game is now on PS4 and I think Xbox One as well. The graphics have been upscaled. They've altered the gameplay to make it workable with the current console market in mind. But how does it hold up? First few things I'm gonna tell you about. Number one, I have definitely not beaten the game yet. I am not even close, so I'm not really gonna get into story mode. From what I've seen, and this is the first 2 hours of playing it, the story seems interesting enough. There's a lot of characters that you're going to be dealing with. You start the game with 12 characters, or and
Wait.
the, yes, that quickly becomes 14 characters, all named after cards like Ace, Deuce, Trey, and then it just goes down from there. Like you get all the way to King. And then you get two extra characters named Machina and Rem, who don't fit the name scheme at all.
So,
Way to go,
but.
guys. So, insofar as the story goes and the characters, I will say this: the voice acting isn't terrible, but I'd probably stick with the Japanese if I could, or if you have the choice. The dubbing for the English, it's not Xenogears awful, but it's pretty bad.
That's Final Fantasy 10.
I would say 10 was better in that regard. It seems like there are times speech will happen and just the mouths, it's just bad dubbing. Like, it doesn't seem
Oh,
like the
okay.
dubbing is, you know what I mean? Like a Japanese dub or an English dub for a Japanese film where it's just the words don't match up with the mouth movements. It feels like that. Also, you can kind of see some issues in graphically where the game, while it's been upscaled to HD, keep in mind you're upscaling from PSP to PS4.
Yeah.
Like
That's a massive jump.
you're talking from a handheld that came out late in the PS2 cycle to right before the release of the PS3. And then you've had another handheld come out for the PlayStation's generationally since then in the Vita.
Yeah.
And then you're still upscaling to the current console out, which would be the PS4. So there's For what it is, it's pretty, but it's not going to be the, we'll put it this way, it's not going to be the prettiest game in your PS4 library by any means if you're into graphics. The gameplay, though, this is where I feel the game does have some strong suits early on. Number one, it feels more like I'm playing. Did you ever play Crisis Core on the PSP?
Yeah, I did.
It feels kind of like Crisis Core in some ways. It feels kind of like Crisis Core, Kingdom Hearts. It has that same action RPG feel to
Yeah.
it. The one thing that it does is it doesn't bog you down with menus. All your face buttons have your basic commands on them, what you can do with certain weapons and commands. And it doesn't really, say, force you to go through this menu to try and figure out what you're doing. You've got everything right there at your fingertips, which I like.
That does make it a lot easier with
Oh,
higher
yeah.
levels.
Of your 14 characters, they actually run the Final Fantasy gamut of weapons, and when I say that, I mean we are talking. They've gone out there. By the way, I always wondered in Final Fantasy how characters like Setzer used a card deck as a weapon.
Yeah.
The starting character, your starting protagonist, is a guy named Ace. Ace's weapon is a card deck. One of his commands actually is called Cut Cards, which will put a card above you that gives lets you, instead of doing your basic attack, gives you a special ability such as restoring your HP, restoring your MP, doing a burst attack that does additional damage, doing a status ailment attack that stops the enemy in place.
So it's similar to like Lady Luck in Final Fantasy X-2, kind of?
Yes, and it, you know, sometimes you'll get cards that, or you'll, the cards will stack on each other, like you get, make it 2 HP charge cards, which will hit you with a super HP charge, or a super MP charge, or a super burst, or a longer stop attack. So you get things like that. Also, since it is an action RPG, you know, you have an active dodge button. While you're playing, when you lock on an enemy, you'll have a reticle appear on him. If that reticle turns red and you attack at just at that time, it'll do critical damage. Now, the thing is, there are certain characters that this is great for. For example, Ace's card deck, which while allows him to hit enemies at a distance, doesn't necessarily give him the ability to exploit criticals as well, in my opinion. Sometimes he just, the cards don't go off fast enough. But you have other characters who use guns or bows, or one character who uses a flute as a weapon.
A flute?
A flute, yeah.
Does Vinny G?
You get where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you, this is the Final Fantasy gamut of weapons being thrown out here. It's, I mean, it's a good game. It plays well. The gameplay feels solid. The camera, I feel, is a little loosey, in my opinion. It's very hypersensitive. Almost, yeah, actually, it's too sensitive. That's the problem with it. It's, and I think that was one of the things that they did not port over well from the PSP to the PS4 format. Yeah. Is it just, it feels quicker than it needs to be. If it was like a hair bit slower, it would feel perfect.
That could be, it could be fixed, like with a firmware update or something like that.
I mean, assuming they decide to do that, you could fix that, and I think, you know, that is something that should be done. But on the whole, you know, the gameplay is solid. It's certainly fun. You know, I definitely want to get more into the game so I can give a better assessment of it right now. Like I said, the first 2 hours feel good, but, you know, obviously you can't judge a game based on those first 2 hours. I mean, if yeah, I mean, if I, you know, if I did that, I would have said that Dragon Age 2 is better than Dragon Age Origins. And then, you know, here we are, where Dragon Age 2 is horrible in so many ways, but the battle system was great. So we may have another one of those on our hands here. The one thing I will say about this Final Fantasy, though, if you're going into it expecting the normal lighthearted JRPG fare that you've had with previous Final Fantasies, this is different. This game is bloody. And I don't mean that, you know, loosely. I mean, this is, for a Final Fantasy game, this one is violent. Like, I don't think I've seen this much blood in a Final Fantasy game since Tactics on the PS1/PSP.
I don't get why this is my only complaint about this genre as a whole. It's like, well, everybody has shifted towards the American or Western standard of RPG.
Well, I mean, you have to understand this is a side story. This is away from the, you know, normal Final Fantasy franchise.
Yeah.
And what I have to, even in the FMVs, when they're, you know, detailed, when they're setting up the story and what's going on, I mean, you've got people getting shot point blank in the chest with gunfire and they're getting blood splattered. You know, this is, I think, the first Final Fantasy game to get a mature rating. That tells you something, that this is a big deal. You know, this is a far cry from what I'm used to seeing with a Final Fantasy game. It's different. Even when Aeris got gutted in Final Fantasy VII by Sephiroth, there was no blood.
Yeah.
That was about as clean of an impale kill as you're ever going to get. This game is not being clean. This game is trying to show you the horrors of war, and I think one of the themes they were exploring with it was, you know, what happens when a Final Fantasy game starts treating life as just an expendable resource, as opposed to something to be something precious, to be cherished, to be protected. Yeah. You know, what happens when you look at lives as though just here's another face in the crowd? You're another number. You're another dog tag.
Yeah, that's actually really dark for Final Fantasy.
Yeah, and that's something that I think the plot's going to get into, and I want to learn more about that. So right now, based on my first 2 hours of play, I would say give it a look. I'm going to stop just shy of a full recommendation because, again, I'm not in a place in the game where I can make that recommendation. But if you like active battles, if you liked the way Crisis Core played, you know, if you liked Kingdom Hearts, battle-wise, you're not going to be disappointed here. And going from that, I actually have to say that here's probably the main reason, though, people buy Vault Type-0 for the 15 demo.
Yeah, of
now,
course.
The 15 demo, battle system-wise, doesn't play much differently than Type-0 does. Surprisingly, it is another active battle game, very similar to, you know, Kingdom Hearts, very similar to Crisis Core. I think it actually is more in line if you combined Kingdom Hearts with Dragon Age, actually. I think that would be a very apt way of describing the combat in the game.
I like,
you know,
it.
The game, you know, it's a very pretty game. You know, the voice acting is on point. The dubbing in the demo was very good. The combat was well explained. It was actually really intuitive. Like, it felt natural. It felt right. You know, everything felt really clean with the game. It's certainly a different tone. It's a different direction that they're taking with this game, but it feels like they've got a winner on their hands, if this demo is any indication.
I have to ask you a quick question. It's like, what I was confused about when I was looking at it, like, does it take place in like a normal time period?
I mean, first off, a normal time period with Final Fantasy, that's really hard to say, because you can have various societies in Final Fantasy running on several different technological scales.
Yeah.
This one, I can't say. Again, with Final Fantasy, that's tricky. I actually like to look at this game as like BroQuest the game. because your main character is assisted by three other dudes that he's known his entire life. You know, they are broing out. They are on a bro journey of brodom to do...
Of epic proportions.
Thank you, of epic proportions, yes.
So it's Entourage.
Yeah, Final you know Fantasy. What? You know, it's Final Fantasy Entourage starring Vincent Chase. You know, and I'm just waiting for Ari Gold to appear out of somewhere telling everyone, let's hug it out, bitch. You know what? But that's, you know, and I realize to some people that's going to be kind of a turnoff that may, you know, sound like it's kind of discrediting the game, and it's really not meant to be. Look, here's a full disclosure. I was not the biggest fan of 10-2.
Love 10-2.
I thought 10-2 had a great battle system. I liked the job spheres. I wasn't sold on the plot, but I did like the initial premise. I did like what they were trying to do with it. I don't think it was well executed, but I liked the concept. I certainly liked the attempt. I can't fault them for trying.
Yeah.
This is, I think, Square Enix going at it the other way. What happens when you get four dudes together and go on the epic bro journey of epic bro portions? Yeah. You know, this is what you're looking at. You know.
I mean,
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it's going to be a great game. Again, this is a demo. But I will certainly tell you this. If you liked how Type-0 HD plays, 15's not far off the mark. They play very similarly. I think in a weird way, Type-0 kind of preps you for the 15 demo in a way.
Yeah.
I actually really like your main character, Noctis, I think his name is, and how he does combat. Like, he's constantly warping in weapons to attack you with. So he's like switching between a lance, a longsword, a dual, or like a giant big blade. You know, he actually has the ability to warp up onto ledges, grab them, and then teleport himself at high speeds towards you.
Like, that just seems like... I'd have to play it. It sounds pretty interesting, though.
I mean, I think if nothing else, if you can... Here's the thing, if you're interested in getting the Final Fantasy 15 demo, I try to play it if you can.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily... I guess the big question is it worth picking up Type-0 for the 15 demo? And I don't know if I can go that far, if only because I don't think any demo is necessarily worth a full game purchase. I never have, I never will. I think there is a reason for that kind of thing. I think if you're interested in 15 and you like what you've seen in the video, Type-0 as a game does not play much differently. So I think it's worth giving Type-0 a run, and that'll kind of determine whether or not you think 15 is going to be up your alley. But I don't know. It's like I said, I think it's a lot like what I would say with the story for Type Zero. It's really too early for me to give an assessment, and I think that's the thing about a demo. It is just a demo. There are still things being worked out. There's things that are going to be changed. You know, the area that you that the demo takes place in may not be the same come the full release. Although I will tell you that the area that you adventure in for the demo is relatively massive. Like, it did not feel like a small area. I mean, I
could go a different way, though. Because, like, you remember the old Final Fantasy VIII demo?
Yes.
That more or less wasn't like you played up to the first boss. You got to actually fight the first boss?
Yes.
I think it could go that way.
Yeah.
Keep all of the same. I mean, why change? Unless, like, they're just in the pre-build beta. And, yeah, everything could change. Yeah. That would suck.
And, I mean, again, none of this is a knock towards the games. I think they're very good. I think 15 has a lot of potential to be what the Final Fantasy series needs. I think this is the kind of injection that it's needed. Honestly, I think 14 was a big catalyst on where the series could be going. And I think 15 is a good sign of that. I think it's a good sign of change. I think it's positive change.
Positive is good.
Yeah. So
I actually probably will give it a shot because I do like Final Fantasy again. I'm getting back into that kind of game.
But I mean, again, I will say this, and this is being honest. This isn't your old school Final Fantasies anymore. This is not, you know, your menus and your, you know, select, attack, magic, defend, run away. This is an active game. This is an action. It's an action RPG at its core. This is, you're playing closer to Dragon Age or Kingdom Hearts. Something to that effect. Something Dark Souls in some ways. Not necessarily as evil or as, you know, unforgiving, but that's the kind of game you're getting into now. So I think it does. If none of that sounds like it's up your alley, you may not want to play 15. You may not want to play Type Zero, because those are the kinds of games you're going to be getting out of this.
Yeah.
If those kind of games aren't up your alley, then I would say you're wasting your money at this point.
Yeah, which would suck.
Yeah, and I mean, I certainly don't want to endorse someone wasting their money. However, so that's me giving you my honest assessment of what I've seen. I think it's worth it to try. I think if you're neutral on it, give it a shot. If you're a big Final Fantasy fan and you like what I just described, you're not going to go wrong. If you're iffy on that style of gameplay, I would hold off.
Yeah. Sounds legit. Yep. So on that note, do you have anything to say in closing to this episode?
We're going to have V-chips installed in us. Even though we're gonna lose like our half of or like a third of our vocabularies, or I'm gonna lose like 2/3 of mine.
It'll just be, you'll be able to say a couple really intelligent things and have nothing in between. It's like dead air. You're just like thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's like.
Now, I would like to apologize.
I'm gonna be stripped of all my favorite 4-letter monosyllabic words. And that's gonna be awful.
I would like to apologize. I swear, like, had you not started the way you did, that completely, like, set the tone for that. Like, you know what?
You know, the truth is, though, as opposed to the boring, drab intro, that was pretty good. Me and just a busted out laugh. I mean, that's as good as it's gonna get. I'm shocked. It's already out the door.
I would like to add one more thing before we get out of here. Is that, I think we should do a thing where we actually stream something. So keep a lookout for one of us, probably me, to make an announcement for a quick stream this weekend, just to see how well that goes.
Yep.
And it'll probably Sonic.
Yep. Or if nothing else, if you want to see James and I stream ourselves, again, my Twitch account is twitch.tv/JesseUno. Twitter is /JesseUno. You can find my personal musings on life, the universe, and everything else on Twitter. Yeah. Twitch, I do like to occasionally stream when I'm on my PS4. James, as I believe, Twitter is still Young Jameis.
Yep, Twitter's still Young Jameis. If I get Twitch to work, it'll be twitch.tv/YoungJameis also. And like I said, I'm trying to work on getting the Team Rocket one up. And if I'm lucky, since we talked about that earlier, I might actually design like a little webpage too. So you keep up with us. I can't talk that way too in a little bit. But on that note, man.
God. God almighty, we need, you know what we need to run an actual live podcast where we're both in the room, as opposed to just this, what we're doing now. You know what, for that matter, I just want to say that our first stream attempt, you know what it needs to be, right? Resident Evil 3. The escapades of...
Jill Valentine, the hot single lady on the town trying to save the city.
All the single ladies. Nemesis tried to put a ring on it.
That would get us banned from this, but it'd be perfect for Twitch. And on that note, I need to figure out how to get my PlayStation stuff on this computer. We'll go from there.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you can look forward to that. I am Jesse. This is James. We are the Team Rocket Podcast, and we are blasting off again.
I need to change that outro. Just saying. Nintendo's going to sue us.
You fill me with great shame. I fill me with great shame.
There you go.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful night. We will see you all again next week for episode 5. What we have to talk about, we don't know. We'll figure it out.
I'll just wing it.
Yep. Come back and join us, though. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night and good luck.